for our scripture this morning. Let us turn together to the second epistle of Peter, the third chapter. 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, back in the Okanagan Valley, where you will find the city of Kelowna, and I'm sure it's equally true here in the Skagit Valley, we expect things to grow. Trees grow. Bushes grow. Flowering shrubs grow. Plants of every description grow. in our semi-arid climate in the Okanagan Valley, all you have to do is add water, and you get growth. I'm amazed at the growth of the trees that we planted 12 years ago in our own yard. And if things don't grow, we get concerned and begin to worry. What's the matter? Why aren't things growing? We expect growth as a matter of course. And God, when He plants life in the heart of a believer, likewise expects growth to occur. God expects Christians to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, God commands us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should all be growing in our Christian faith and life. Are you growing? This morning I invite you to turn with me to 2 Peter, yes, chapter 3 and verse 18. And we'll take up this subject of growth in Christ. And as we look at this text, I hope we can examine the necessity of growth, the areas of growth, and the means of growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To begin with, I want to emphasize the necessity of our growing in Christ. God, speaking through Peter, commands us to grow in Christ in this verse. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's imperative that we grow in Christ. This is not an option reserved for those super spiritual people that come along every now and again. It's a necessity that God places on each and every Christian. Growth is a characteristic of life, and that's true whether you're talking about plant life, animal life, human life, spiritual life. If it's alive, it grows. When we repent of our sin and come to faith in the Lord Jesus, God gives us life. Now let me restate that. This is a Reformed church. God gives life that we might repent and believe in the Lord Jesus. Unbelievers, as the Bible describes them, are dead in trespasses and sins. We don't expect growth there. But believers are alive in Christ. Being alive are expected to grow. And something is wrong. Something is seriously wrong if Christians do not grow. I remember years ago when I ministered to a congregation in Verdon, Manitoba. We had a little fellow in our congregation that wasn't growing. He was the same age as my son John, and John was shooting up like a weed on his way to the 6.5 feet that he is today. And his other little fellow, same age, was he ever short beside my son? And did his parents become concerned? They went from one doctor to another, and finally I believe they got caught up with a specialist who could tell them what the matter was and what to do and what to expect, but they were burned that there was no growth in their son. We expect our children to grow, but where is the same expectation for growth in the grace and the knowledge of Christ and Christians? And never mind the people about you. How about yourself? Have you been growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, God commands you to grow in this grace and knowledge of the Savior. It's a commandment that every one of us needs to take more seriously. We don't read it with the other 10 every Lord's Day, but here it is in God's Word, and it's a commandment that needs to be taken every bit as seriously. The commandment calls for active participation on our part. Think of how most folks will work to promote growth on their land or in the yard about their home. We have our gardens, do we not? And what do? Well, we see that they're well watered. We see that they're nourished with fertilizer. These garden supply stores do a booming business these days. We see that our plants that we're growing, that they're not encumbered by weeds. A beautiful and a productive garden takes activities. There are things we do. And the same is true of our Christian growth and experience. So there are things we can do to promote this growth, and I'll deal with those very shortly. But first, let me turn your attention to the areas in which we are told to grow in this particular text. There are two areas we are commanded to grow in. And these areas are, you will notice, grace and knowledge. The grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me begin with the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior. To know Christ, we must first know about Him. And for this, God has given to us the Bible. The whole Bible. We turn naturally to the Gospels, where they give us the story of Jesus' life on earth. But let's not stop there. You can learn a great deal about Christ from the epistles, from the whole New Testament for that matter, but there's more yet. The whole Bible makes Christ known to us. I'm reminded of those two men that were walking along the road to Emmaus. The day of our Lord's resurrection, you remember that story from the Gospel of Luke. And they were discussing among themselves the events of that particular weekend, when they were joined by the risen Christ. It was obvious to Jesus that they simply did not understand what had been going on. So Jesus undertook to add to their knowledge of Himself. And Luke tells us, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. Jesus took them all the way back to Genesis to begin filling them in with knowledge about Himself. He took them through the prophets. He took them through the whole Old Testament to increase their knowledge about Him. And if we want to grow in the knowledge of Jesus, we must grow in our knowledge of the Bible. But that's not the full burden of our text. While it's essential to know about Christ, it's every bit as important to know Him personally. Paul expressed the desire of his heart in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Paul wanted to experience Christ. He wanted to live Christ and have communion and fellowship with Him. In the same book of Philippians, he tells us, for me to live is Christ. He wanted to know what Christ could accomplish through him, Paul. He wanted to know the power of Christ at work in him. He wanted to know something of how Christ handled suffering in his own experience. And this puts a whole new dimension on this challenge of knowing Christ and growing in him. He wanted to personally experience Christ. That's what it means to grow in the knowledge of Christ. Are you growing? Are you making progress? We must grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must also grow in grace. Christ pours his grace into and through our hearts by his Holy Spirit. To grow in grace is to have the Holy Spirit working increasingly in our hearts and in our lives. The Holy Spirit works in our lives as we order and direct them according to God's Word. And the more we do this, the more we grow in grace. And the Holy Spirit, of course, works effectively. And as we grow in grace, our lives become more like Jesus Christ. More of the fruit of the Spirit is found in our behavior. More love, more joy, more peace, more long suffering, more kindness, more goodness, more faithfulness, more gentleness, more self-control. And when you look at it that way, I think we have a lot growing in grace to do. A full-grown Christian will be the most wonderful person on the block. Best of neighbors, or in the words of Jesus, the very salt of the earth. Many of us are not there yet. Most of us are not there yet. How many of us are even close? We have a lot of growing to do, brothers and sisters. I think it's also important for me to say a word at this point about balance. We are to grow in both grace and knowledge. Or to put it another way, we're to grow in both head and heart. We are not to be all head as Christians and resemble that toy my granddaughters played with. What do we call it? Mr. Potato Head. Big head, and you change the ears and eyes. Maybe your kids have them too. But there's no body to speak of. It's all head. And as Christians, we shouldn't be all knowledge and no grace. Head and heart ought to grow in proportion to one another. And sometimes I wonder if some of the Reformed Christians that I have met had grown perhaps rather well in knowledge, but were suffering a bit in terms of grace. There is this tendency to become all head and no heart. Or as I have had a few Pentecostal friends along the way who seem to be, frankly, very wanting in their growth in head, but I was amazed at how much heart they had. And they become all heart and very small headed. Now, I know that's talking in broad generalities, but there's just enough truth in that to give it a bit of light. And do you see the point I'm trying to make? It's important. Our knowledge A reformed truth.
Vital.
And every bit is important. The growing in grace and likeness to our Lord Jesus. We can't afford to be either all head or all heart.
Both
are monstrosities. We can't afford to be without either grace or knowledge. We must grow as balanced Christians. That's the commandment that God has placed before us in this verse in 2 Peter. Grow in grace and in the knowledge. Very well then, so we accept this necessity of growth. And we consider those areas in which you and I both need to grow. Now I want to say a few words about the means of growth. And I'll acknowledge my indebtedness here to Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. As I prepared this part of my sermon, I found him to be most helpful. What we can do to promote this growth in grace and knowledge goes like this. First and foremost, I would turn your attention to nourishment. And our Lord has provided nourishment for us. It's twofold, and it includes God's Word and the sacraments. I've already spoken of the place the Word holds in growing in our knowledge of Christ, but it's just as important in our growth in the grace of Christ. The Christian must learn to feed upon the Word of God. Paul instructs new Christians, or Peter rather, instructs new Christians as newborn babes to desire the pure milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. Then as the Christian matures, he can start digging in the strong meat of God's Word. There's plenty of food in God's book for every believer to grow. But it doesn't do us any good until we sit down and take it in. The Scriptures rightly place great stress on the preaching of the Word of God. And you're here this morning, and that's good. And one of our great advantages as Reformed Christians is that we have two preaching services in our churches every Lord's Day. And we can nourish our souls with two good meals. And we're grateful to God for that. Make sure that you don't miss a meal. And ever since 1456, the year they invented the printing press, ever since then we've been able to supplement our weekly diet of preaching with a good opportunity of reading God's Word in our own homes. Is there a home here this morning that doesn't have a copy of God's Word in it? I'd be very much surprised if there was. But do we spend time with our Bibles, growing in our knowledge and in our grace from what it has to say? There's all this opportunity for nourishment. But whenever, oh yes, and the church has what? Bible studies? Catechism classes? Of course, and they're important. And part of that importance, a big part of that importance, is they become a means whereby we can grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And don't forget the sacraments either. They are supplementary to the Word of God, but they also provide nourishment for the soul. So the Lord has provided so well for us. And now it's up to us to take our nourishment. Now, secondly, if we want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, we must learn to avoid everything harmful to the life and growth of the soul. If you do not protect an infant from the infectious fevers and diseases of this world, you'll get sickness and problems with growth. And if you don't get the weeds out of your garden, you won't grow much except weeds. And it's exactly the same way in our Christian life. If you want to grow, you must learn to avoid everything that's harmful to your spiritual life. I'm not going to take a great deal of time on this particular point this morning. You should know what inhibits your spiritual growth. If we're friends of the world, we can't be friends with God. I find watching television is not very helpful in my growth in grace. With all its insinuations and all its suggestions and all the advertisements that seem to appeal to what's lowest in us, with the prominence it gives to what is opposed to the life of Christ, I just don't find it much help. And consequently, I don't spend much time with it. And the same is true about much that's available to be read these days. The amusements and pleasures of this world do not help our growth. It's for Christians, of course, to work all these things out. You have to work it out in your life. I have to work it out in mine. But learn to identify those things that would hold back your growth and weed them out. You won't grow unless you do. What stands between us and God needs to be cut out. We should have no time for it at all. We must keep ourselves in an atmosphere that is not a hindrance to the life of the soul. It doesn't stunt our growth. So we need nourishment. We need to avoid things that are detrimental. And thirdly, if we want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, we need exercise. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, exercise yourselves to godliness. Not enough just to have the right food. It's not enough to simply avoid what is harmful. If there's to be healthy growth, life must be exercised. Take a young child or a young animal. If you can find them and prevent them from moving above, you'll create problems if you don't hamper growth. They won't develop as they should. And the same holds true in our Christian lives. We must put into practice what we claim to believe. It means practicing Christian living, doing those things we're instructed to do in the Word of God. We have a daughter that's blossomed into quite the musician. She teaches music in a private school in Vancouver. But how did she become a musician? Well, she was not very big when she had her first piano lesson, but she had to practice, and she practiced that piano day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out, and has done very well. We have just been delighted. But you don't learn to play the piano unless you practice. You don't learn to drive a car unless you practice. You can't learn any skill unless you practice. We hear a lot about Olympic Games and all that, and what do these athletes do? They train and they train, they practice and they practice. You can't expect to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ unless you practice doing what His Word tells you to do. Practice self-control. Practice being gentle. Practice doing deeds of kindness. and the many other instructions of God's Word. As you practice what the Scriptures say, you find yourself growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Fourthly, if we want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ, we will need rest. Now that may sound strange at first hearing, but think about it. Newborn children need a lot of rest in their young years. And they still need rest growing up. Rest is vital for growth. And that applies in this realm of the Spirit also. You may be reading your Bible very diligently, but if your mind is not at rest, not at peace, you won't get out of it what you should. There are some Christians that are always agitated over some question or other. They can't understand why God allows this or why He allows that. And they want to figure everything out. I just don't understand. And their minds are never at rest. We must always remember we're justified by faith and we live by faith. If we don't make ourselves Christians, God makes us Christians. And when we can't understand things, and I don't pretend to understand everything, but we must learn to say, well, I don't know how it works, but I believe that God works all things for the good of His people, and then I rest in that confidence. I don't have to figure it all out. I can rest in His Word. And we must learn to rest and recline in the arms of God, and believe and trust Him where we don't understand. And without cultivating that aspect of rest and that quiet mind, we'll hold back our growth in grace and the knowledge of Christ. And one other principle I would suggest you think about in this whole business of growing in grace is the need for discipline. Having recognized all these other things, we need discipline and regular carrying things out. We're not to read our Bible spasmodically. You know, we got a real burst of enthusiasm that lasts two or three days, and then we don't look at it for another month. We must go back to God's Word regularly, constantly. We must avoid what is evil all the time, being mindful that there's no such thing as a spiritual holiday. We must be regular and constant, and we need to examine ourselves. Am I making progress? There's five principles that I think will be helpful in helping you grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Realizing that God has given to us a gift of life. Realizing that certain conditions are essential to the preservation and increase of life. We must practice. And as we do, we'll find ourselves growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, growth is necessary in our Christian experiences. Scripture commands us to grow in Christ. It commands us to grow in these two areas, in grace and in knowledge, and those in proportion to one another. There are means by which we can promote this growth. Growth needs to be nourished. We need to avoid the things that inhibit growth. We need exercise. We need rest. We need to be disciplined. And I conclude exactly where I began with the words of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this passage of your word. And it's a word, a verse that needs our attention. For each one of us needs to grow. And we're encouraged by the growth we see about us, and we rejoice in what you are doing among your people. And yet, our Father, as we examine our own hearts and lives, we all know we need to grow. We're not there yet. We have a new life. We're not fully mature. And so we ask, our Father, that you will give us grace that will enable us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Help us to nourish ourselves with your word. Help us to get rid of those things in our lives that inhibit growth. Help us to rest in the knowledge of Christ. Rest in the sovereign arms of our Father in heaven. Help us to discipline our lives. May we grow together and so bring honor to Jesus, who gave himself for us. Hear us for his name's sake. Amen.